We're just going to continue our time in prayer. So, just take up a posture of prayer and a heart of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you are great, so great, so worthy of all praise, name above all names. And Lord, as we look back to the cross, we just are so grateful for what Jesus has done, has connected us in a relationship with no barriers to you, our Father. Lord, just as in response to that, we want to be more like you. We want to do as you do. We want to live our lives in your kingdom, doing your kingdom work. But Father, as we live in this world that is broken and hard, we do still get impacted by our sins and how that puts a barrier between us and you. Even though we are forgiven, we still stumble and just want to take away those barriers. So this morning, I just want to spend some time acknowledging those things that we've done or said or thought that are not of you, that are creating a barrier, and break away that barrier. Turn in repentance, acknowledging our sins and turning back to you. So I'm just going to give us some time now to just reflect on our week, on our day, on our morning with a repentant heart, turning away. So just spend some time acknowledging your error of ways, your sin, the things that you've done that are not of God. Repent. Turn away from them. Father, I just want to acknowledge my own life. The frustration and anger towards my neighbour yesterday, she didn't know it, but you know it. You know it was on my heart, my annoyance and frustration. Lord, that is not of you. Give me a warm heart towards her. Put aside those frivolous things that annoy me. May I be Christ-like. May I be a light to her. Lord Jesus, as we breathe out, speak out all those things that are not of you, we then breathe in your forgiveness that we receive, you give us so freely through Jesus. Well, thank you that we live in that freedom, that every barrier we put up, you break down, that everything you do wrong, we can turn back to you, knowing that you forgive us for everything because of what Jesus did on the cross. So, Lord, make us more like you. Each day, make us fresh, make us new. Your mercies are new every morning. And I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your deep love for us, that we can be broken away. We're not bound by those sins, but can come to you in freedom, in connection with the fullness of your love and grace and forgiveness on us. So we praise you, name above all names, worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for leading us, Mon, in prayer. I just wonder if we can just continue in that mode of prayer. As Kathy was just reading from Ephesians, the phrase about the shield of faith, to be able to extinguish the arrows, that just really, really stood out to me. And I just felt like perhaps there's some of us in this room who are listening to lies. Maybe there's a sense of not feeling worthy, not feeling good enough. You're down on yourself. And what is the shield of faith? The shield of faith is that which believes what we sang about, the finished work of the cross. He sees you as loved. He sees you as worthy. He sees you as called. And if that's not the way you see yourself, then let's have that belief and that faith to extinguish the lies that so easily come and pierce us and change us from the inside. So I just want to pray along those lines as we begin the word part of our service this morning. Lord, we thank you for your finished work on the cross. We thank you that because of that, you see us as perfect, clothed in white, righteous, worthy of being called your children. And Lord, I just pray for anyone in this room who is feeling down. Perhaps they're letting in the lies of the enemy. Perhaps they're letting in untruths about their situation or their lives. Lord, I just pray that the shield of faith would rise up in their circumstances. Lord, that you would give them belief and trust in who you are and what you have done, and that what you have done is enough. That you have done is complete. What you have done is finished. And that allows us to stand firm. It allows us to stand under the umbrella of faith in the assault of what happens around us. Lord, let that not just be a Sunday morning thing, but a lifelong thing as we go out and live our lives of faith, that we would be able to stand firm in the truth of what you have done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful time of worship this morning. It's been great to gather together. And it's my privilege now to introduce to you Alan Steele, who's going to come and give us the word this morning. Alan Steele is part of our Christian Family Centre churches. He's done a lot of his ministry and life in Central Australia, working with Indigenous and others in the middle of Australia, and he's got years of experience and wealth of knowledge, and we're just so grateful that you can come and share with us this morning. So can we welcome Alan to come and be part of us? Thank you.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I'll just fix this. I might look like I'm going to fall over, but I'm not. I'm okay. I've just had a new knee put in maybe 8 weeks ago. So if I look like I'm wobbling, it's okay. I've got it worked out. It's so good to be here. It really is. And part of that, why it's so good, is I'm seeing some faces that I've known for many years but haven't seen for a long time. And Mike came and saw me, introduced himself, and I thought, oh, yeah, I had a good hard look till I recognised him. But if I don't acknowledge you, come and tell me, because my memory is getting a bit vague sometimes, and I might not recognise you straight up. But the other thing I love because I go to a couple of churches, a couple up in Alice Springs, and I'm involved with the Friday service at Seton, and of course the Sunday services, and each church is quite different in their music and the songs that they select. I love your song selections too, but most of them I like them too. But it's really good to be here and get a bit of a feel for your heart by how you're running the church here and the songs that you sing. I've never been into this building before, but I must admit it's better than I imagined it was. I don't know why. I was sitting here thinking, this is better than I imagined. I thought, what were you imagining? But it's really nice, isn't it? Do you love it? Yeah, it's great. Very good. Last weekend, I had three Congolese men staying with us. That's something that's never happened in my life before. Three Congolese ex-refugees. They've, of course, coming from the Congo, they've come from pretty tough situations. And 10, 15 years in different countries until they were finally accepted to come here to Australia. But one of them was with us for a time when I was in Alice Springs in the last couple of years. One of them joined our church up there. He was there for about 18 months, and then he went to Melbourne where he had other Congolese friends. And he wrote, after he got back there, he was home for a month or two, and then he wrote and said that he was part of a Congolese group over there at Melton, near Melbourne, and they're asking, could they become a Christian Family Centre church? So we thought, wow, we didn't expect that. But such a nice group of men. So we had some of the leadership team over, Pastor Bill and my son Jeremy went over to Melbourne. So we're in the talking and getting to know each other sort of stage. But it comes out as you start to talk to them and realise that these guys have been through hardship. But it also comes out they have incredible strong faith. And you think, wow, how did they do that? How did they go through all of those terrible things? And the one who was in Alice Springs, his name is Chris. He was a pastor in Kenya from the refugee camps. He planted three churches in that time there. They love the Lord. And so we're looking forward to growing in that. But it was nice to have them. Hello, my images have just shrunk. I don't know what a... Yeah. There we go. So anyway, it was nice to start to develop some new friends, but to get an understanding of the incredible faith that they have in the midst of hardship. And that, because these things, hardships and other things, can drag us away from our faith, can't they? They can start to get on top of us if we're not careful. And that's a bit of what I want to talk about today. I grew up on Lake Macquarie in New South Wales. Does anybody know Lake Macquarie? A few people know it. Lovely. Oh, I reckon it's like heaven on earth. We go back over there for holidays sometimes. We love it. And one time I was over there a couple of years ago, and because on the lake, I grew up, you know, near the lake, and we had a boat, and we were always out fishing. But so when we go over, I do a little bit of fishing, with my brother-in-law. We went fishing out on Belmont Bay, and which was the place we always go. And we went out there and we anchored near what they call the drop-off, because there's a channel that goes out into the ocean and there's a deep drop-off. But, you know, the water can get quite strong through there sometimes. But we went out there and we were having a fantastic time catching up. I'd never been fishing with my brother-in-law before, but we had a great time to catch up and talk and yarn about things. And we're sitting there and there's a little bit of breeze, wasn't too strong, but a little bit of breeze, and we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, beep, beep, we turned around and out at the front of the boat were two water police. And we thought, oh, what have we done? What have we done? And it turned out that we had started to drift. We had started to get affected by the tides and the winds, and we were dragging along. So, of course, being policemen, they had to do a compliance check on everything on the boat, make sure we were right. And praise God, you know, we were compliant. But the problem was we weren't being alert, and we weren't thinking properly, and we were drifting and hadn't even noticed it. And that can happen to us in our lives, can't it? In our Christian life, we can, if we're not careful, if we're not alert, if we're not attentive, we can start drifting along as well. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. And that's a danger. And I've had times in my life when I've noticed that, and I'm sure some of us can say that as well. You know, also in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 11, it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Strong, firm, and steadfast. That's what the Lord wants for us. He wants all of us to be like that, strong, firm, and steadfast. To do that, we need to stay alert. To do that, we need to be thinking properly. When I was sitting in that boat with my brother-in-law, we just got carried away with what we were doing, what life was doing for us, catching up at that moment. We were not alert. We weren't thinking properly. We weren't mindful of what was going on around us and in us. We need to stay alert. We need to stand firm in the faith. And all through the scriptures, there's so many times those words, standing firm, standing firm. I want to call it anchored today, that we are anchored and secure in our faith and our life. Not wavering, not stumbling, not easy moved. Do we all want that? I think we would say yes, but we need to be careful, don't we? Because as that verse said, there really is a real enemy. There really is the enemy of the devil who wants to try and distract us, destroy us, to trap us. He wants to do that, and he does it very cleverly. It took me years to work this out, how he does it. He knows my weak spots, and he knows your weak spots. And we can sometimes think, oh, that's my problem, that's just me. But actually, I have found that the devil actually knows my weak spots, and that's where he targets. And so we have to be very, very careful about that. We need to stay anchored in God's word so that we don't drift. Then those weak spots and things will become evident to us. You know, anchors hold a boat from drifting away under the influence of the tides, the currents and the winds. But the Bible holds us in place. The Bible really has to be our anchor. He's given us that anchor. And it holds us steady through all the times of trouble. And the anchors hold a ship steady, even in the lonely nights. I know living on the lake, if I'd go down to the lake at night, you'd see all the yachts. The waters have gone calm. The anchors are in place where they're moored. And there's safety and security for any who are on board. We think of anchors in other situations as well. We think about anchor bolts. If we want to bolt something to the walls or bolt something to the floor, we drill holes into the concrete or the cement or the masonry, and we put these anchor bolts in to secure it. And they're pretty good, except in my house. It's not because of the man doing the drilling or anything like that, but they're pretty good. But my house is quite an old house, and so the walls are very crumbly. And so then they're not so good. You know, the anchor bolts, they grip firmly into solid walls. So when believers grip firmly into the word of God, they will be strong in faith. They will be aware of their failings and then start to realise how to deal with it. They will be full of hope, and they won't be necessarily overcome, but then they'll be overcomers, which is what the Lord has in store for all of us. I get a thing come on my Facebook page from a Christian woman called Susie Larson, who puts out wonderful little messages from time to time, and I want to read one to you. She says this: the enemy amplifies your fears. He makes a big deal out of your weaknesses. He exaggerates your troubles. He lies about your worth. Enough with him already. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. He's greater than your fears. He is stronger than our enemy. He is mighty to save and brilliant in power. He's a chain breaker and a dream maker. Turn a deaf ear to the enemy. Refuse to rehearse his threats. Lift up your eyes to Jesus this day. He's a miracle-working God, and he has no revival. You are secure in him. You are secure in him. That's important, I think, to hang on to the truth of what Susie says there, I think, is all through the scriptures, that we are secure and safe in him, when we really place our trust in him. A man rang me within the last couple of weeks, a man who comes to church quite regularly, but he has trouble sometimes with all sorts of fears coming upon him. And he was gripped with this fear that he wasn't going to get to heaven. And that's the sort of thing that can happen to us if we are not careful, if we're not hanging on firmly to the truth of God's word. And so I was able to just talk him through that again, and quite quickly he came back strong, which was a wonderful thing to see. Pastor Sam mentioned that I'd worked in Central Australia for some time, and when I first did that, I worked at at a place called Ernabella. And Ernabella was a Presbyterian mission. So my wife Jill and I were appointed out there as practical missionaries at that time. And it was a wonderful time in our lives. It was a time of great excitement. You know, it was a self-sufficient community. In that community, we had responsibility for, and we did, we ran everything about the town. It was a town of about 500 people. And so all the power, the water, all the services, the stores, the schools, the clinics, the hospitals work, we ran it all. We had reforestation projects going. We had a great chicken farm going. We had heaps of things. We built all our own houses for the community there, and it was a really uplifting and encouraging thing to be a part of, to see what was happening there at that time. It had become really a model community, and so much so that government people would come and talk to us and look at what we're doing and then try and pass on the knowledge of what we're doing onto other communities. So it made you feel pretty good, didn't it? You know, like ministers of government coming out there, because the Whitlam government had just come in there at that time, and one of them came out and looked at what we'd started with housing, which was very humble beginnings, offered us $100,000, which was huge back in 1973. We felt pretty important. We felt pretty important. The trouble was, I started to like it. I started to lose my grip on the reality of God. I started to be pursuing all of these good things in life as I saw them then. And I started to take a grip on the fragile things, that sense of achievement, that sense of significance, that sense of personal influence. Those things were starting to dominate. Jesus became last, and I was becoming lost. And I'm so thankful that God got through and pointed that out to me, because it made a huge difference once I realised, whoa, I've just almost forgotten about God. I would have said I was a Christian working on a Presbyterian mission, but there, these other things had crept up and I had drifted away. I should have been anchored in God's word, shouldn't I? But all these other things, all the reports, all the other things that came with the work were taken over, had taken over. I should have followed the advice in this next scripture. It's in 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 15. It says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those whom you have from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." I should have been following that advice. What great advice. Continue in what we've learned. That's what I was able to say to that man who called me the other week. You know what the promises of God are. Continue in those things. I learned a great lesson. I learned that now I had to take hold of this truth. It's in the next two verses. It says, "All Scripture is inspired by God." Isn't that reassuring? All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realise what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Praise God. Is anyone here a cricket buff? Oh, we got one. Was it last year in the World Cup, Australia versus Afghanistan? There was a great match on there, except the Aussies were not doing very well. They got to a stage at 7 wickets for 91 runs, and they had a target to win the match of 292. That's a lot of runs for the last 3 batsmen, if you know anything about cricket. That's not what you'd say, oh, yeah, they've got a good chance I'm very one-eyed. I'm always for the Aussies. But I think my wife, Jill, and I had our heads down thinking, no, this is it, they're all done. They needed to get 201 runs with only those three players left. Seemingly impossible. But then, is it Glenn Maxwell? Maxwell, yeah. He came in and he just started hitting runs everywhere. Before that, his team had just been getting out everywhere. Every time a batsman came up, almost it seemed that they were getting out. He came out, had a talk with the other batsmen, and then started whacking the ball everywhere. At 7 for 241 runs, he was exhausted and he was struck by a massive cramp. So here's the one batsman who's any good, gets a massive cramp. He certainly couldn't run, and cricket's about getting runs, isn't it? So he couldn't run and he could barely walk. This is the truth. He pressed on to score 201 and the match was won. Unbelievable that that would happen. It's interesting if you look at the interview afterwards where he was asked, what happened? How did you do that? He said these things. He said, we decided, okay, they made a choice, we decided not to give up. They're going to be steadfast. We're just not going to give up. They decided to stick to the plan in spite of the issues that had happened, in spite of all the failures that had gone on. They decided to stick to the plan. They were going to be immovable. They weren't going to change tack at all. They were going to stick to what their plan was. They decided that they were going to hit every ball that they could. If they couldn't hit it, they would just let it go by. But if they could hit it, they thought, we're going to have a go and whack it. And we decided to keep a positive attitude, to keep a winning mindset. And they won. Glenn Maxwell, he could have dwelt in the recent past, which was failure, seven out for 91. They could have let that overcome them. But no. They decided to do things very differently in a very positive way. He could have let the past be the rudder to guide what they were doing, but he did not. He did not let the past become the anchor for where his soul, where he was at. And we need to do that ourselves. We need to not let the past be the rudder that guides us, and not let it be an anchor for our soul. Sorry, the past is a rudder that guides us. We can, you know, guide ourselves through those things, but not let it secure us and put us into a hopeless situation. If this works in sport, how much more should it work for us, really? It should really work for us, and I know it does. As believers, let each of us, choose not to give up. Whatever the circumstances we face, whatever the problems we come along with, there was reference to that earlier in the service that some of us might have come with issues today and things going on that just seem too hard. Let's not give up. Don't give up. Stay steadfast. Let's stick to the plan in spite of the issues, all the problems that might surround you, those that might even seem to be overcoming you. Let's stick to the plan. In spite of those issues, let's decide to have a go. Let's decide to have that attitude of we're going to hit every ball we can. We're going to try and make runs in this Christian life with everyone we can. And let's keep that winning mindset, that positive attitude. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. That's a pretty strong statement. Paul saying this. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Don't let your circumstances move you. Don't let the past failures move you or dictate how you're going to respond. Don't let troubled relationships move you. Don't let discouragement move you. Stand firm. It's a strong message that comes from Scripture. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. I want to encourage everyone today to always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. You know, it's easy for us to think, particularly, you know, if we're getting older like me, it's easy for us to think, oh, no, I can't do this, I can't do that. But I want to urge everyone from this scripture, always give yourself fully. Whatever you can do for the Lord, do it and don't hold back. Do it and hold back. Don't hold back. It started off, it says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Therefore is there for a reason. That word therefore. We're told, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Paul is saying, because of Jesus' resurrection, because of his death on that cross, his life and his death on that cross, and his rising again, therefore, stand firm. So because of that, we can stand firm. We can stay unwavering, steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work. You know that your labour is not in vain. And that's the big key, I think, that we know that the Lord will always work good for the things we do in faith in him. Jesus himself set us that perfect example. The salvation of Jesus on that cross, what he accomplished in that his death on the cross and then his resurrection, is a gracious gift of God for all of us and for all sinners. In the light of this gift that he brought to us, in the light of it, in the light of the victory over sin and death, and in the light of the new life that he's won for us and for all of us, in the light of that, believers are encouraged to labour for God, to not hold back, to do everything we can, to not be overcome by anything. So, brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you. Let's make God's kingdom agenda your own. Really get hold in your mind and in your heart what God's agenda is, what he's doing, what he wants us to do, and to make it your own. I want to encourage you to do that and to stick to the plan. Stick to the plan of Bible reading, really getting to understand the scriptures and what they mean. Not just reading them casually, but let's really dig in deep. Let's work out what they're about. Let's commit ourselves to not giving up on prayer. Let's commit ourselves to the purposefulness of the Great Commission. Let's commit ourselves to Christian fellowship, where we have mutual support and accountability for one another. Let's commit ourselves to service by embracing your church's vision and finding a part that you can play as part of that vision. Let's commit ourselves to giving. All these things, prayer, Bible, purposefulness, fellowship, service, giving, let's get fully engaged in all of those Christian things that we need to do and should be doing. Don't become weary or give up. Stick to the plan. It enables us to go on and face overwhelming and difficult circumstances. We can do that. Overwhelming and difficult circumstances. A couple of weeks ago, there was a lady in the church at Seton. I'll call her Rhonda, but that's not her name. She was aged and she had great difficulty getting around. She's able to get to our Friday church service, but really mobility was a big issue for her, and there was because of that there's isolation in her life. And she wanted to commit herself fully to serving the Lord. So she prayed, and she would pray often. She'd pray for all of her neighbourhood. And she prayed a very specific prayer. She was praying, Lord, by your Spirit, give some of these neighbours a vision of Jesus and then bring them to our church. So that was her prayer. And a couple of weeks later, one of those neighbours who, and these two had never met, one of those neighbours, I'll call her Ricky. Ricky had a vision of Jesus in a dream. And in that dream, for her, she felt Jesus was saying, go to that church on Frederick Road. Isn't that amazing what God can do? Like, even a person who might feel totally debilitated and not able to do anything, God's there. God hears those prayers. And so she came along. She made a commitment. And she just loves Jesus. It really worked. And it works for you and it'll work for me. Work for every one of us. She stuck to the plan. And so we should too. Some of you would know Pastor Malcolm Heffernan from the Alice Springs Church. Pastor Bill and I baptised Malcolm in Alice Springs. He'd been down in Adelaide for a few years because of circumstances about which his wife had died. A lot of the people from her side of the family were blaming him and wanted to do payback, which is the thing that happens in Central Australia and other places of the world. So that means, I'll be blunt, they wanted to kill him. And Malcolm, a few times, because Malcolm knew I would go up to Alice Springs when I was running the outreaches back then, and the outreach teams that go up, and I'd say, oh, Malcolm, do you want to come? No, they'll get me. And a couple of years went by doing that, and then finally I asked him and he said, no, actually he came to me the final time and said he wanted to go. He's decided he has to go and face them because that's the only way they'll come to understand the saving grace of God. If he went up there and invited them to his baptism. Such incredible circumstances he faced. But he got hold of what God's plan was and he went with it. Stick to the plan, no matter how hard the circumstances are. I feel for a lot of our young people these days because there are so many situations in which they face being cancelled. If they don't say the right thing or do the right thing these days, they can be cancelled and considered irrelevant and inappropriate. So it's important for all of us, though, to be praying for our young people. And I want to encourage all the young people to stand firm on God's word, stand firm on what his plans are. They will never let you down. The truth of the resurrection changes everything. If we didn't have to deal with that, Jesus and the resurrection, a lot of our fairly natural responses would work for us. But Jesus died and rose again to bring us salvation and to bring us new life, which goes on forever. And ever and ever. He brought to us eternal life and he brought to us, and we can be sure in it that the goodness of God wins in the end. The goodness of God. And if we can build that into our lives and all of our decision making, it'll be a wonderful thing. I want to just finish reading this verse we read a moment ago. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Can we pray? Thank you, Lord. Lord, I recognise that I need help with these things that we've been talking about this morning. I need to always remember that you are indeed the Lord of all. You are the one who changed everything, that you brought us to a place of salvation. You brought us to a place where we have a hope eternal. And Lord, I want that hope eternal to become stronger and stronger in me. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray that you'd help them, in spite of their circumstances, to be able to embrace what you have for them. Lord, let them be filled with confidence and courage, and let them stand up and take hold of the things that you have prepared for them. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Alan. That's just an amazing word. And I just, you know, I've got a sense that the Lord has preordained this morning, that that there's a sense of God wanting to restore us. There's a sense of God wanting to do something in our lives. Have you felt yourself drifting? Have you felt yourself just going along? Do you know your weak spots? Have you been allowing the fragile things of life to become the priority that you chase after, and the things of faith fading away? One thing I love about, I love that Glenn Maxwell analogy, is if you haven't seen it, go on YouTube and watch it later. Normally a cricket person, they'll move their feet according to where the ball is going. But because he was so injured, he literally just stood still and swung his upper bat. It's something you've never, ever seen in cricket before, yet it was miraculous the way he did it. But the thing that just struck me as Anne was, he stood firm. Literally in that crease, he didn't move and he wasn't swayed by where the stuff was going. He just stood there and he hit what came to him. And I just feel like that's a picture for us this morning, that we need to remember what it means to stand firm and allow the Lord to restore us back to that state of first love and life. Are you feeling yourself drifting? Are you feeling yourself just going through the motions? Well, perhaps this morning the Lord just want to just work on you to restore you. The thing about restoration is things often decay, things often go old and need to be brought back to life. And it's the same with our faith. It's the same with our walk of life. Is it a bit decayed? Are you needing that restoration this morning? Well, you are in a safe place. Alan said, commit yourself to fellowship where we can mutually support one another. And I want us to do that this morning. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to invite the band up. I'd just love us to sing this song that speaks about being anchored. And then after that, and in that time, would you be open to what the Lord is perhaps revealing? What is that weak spot in your life of faith this morning that he's wanting to do a work in? Is it your personal walk with him? Is it something in your family? Is it your work taking over and you've got no time and space for him anymore? What is it that he's wanting to do in you? As we sing this song, just open yourself up for the Spirit to press on maybe that weak spot and say, Lord, I just want to be restored. Bring me back to life and allow him to do that. And then after we've sung, then I'd just invite people to come to the front. And we'd just love to pray with you. We'd just love for the Lord to just be doing that work in you for that restoration to come, for you to be anchored, for you to be able to stand firm in the Lord. So let's stand and sing.
I love you.
come this morning in need of restoration? Have you come this morning in need of a touch from the Lord? Then you are in a safe place. You're in a place where the Lord, through one another, can come and touch your life. Stand firm. Be strong in your faith. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ, so that after you have suffered a little while, he will restore. He will restore. He will restore, support and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever and amen. Just as Beck continues to play, if you are in need this morning and you would love to be prayed for, I'm going to invite Alan down here at the front, and I'm going to be here too. Just don't walk away empty this morning. Don't walk away from the opportunity to be touched and allow the restoring hand of Jesus to do his work in your life. So come forward and we'd love to pray with you. The kids are being looked after, it's okay. They can have another 5 minutes. Just use this time. And for the rest of you, just feel free to just stay in a quiet contemplation, just as we just pray with one another. And then I'll close the service in a moment. So just spend 5 minutes or so. Come forward if you want prayer. And Beck can just keep playing. To move amongst us. I want to just close the service there. Thank you for being part of this morning. I trust that you've heard from the Lord. I trust that the Lord's touched your life this morning. We're going to invite you to stay behind for a coffee for fellowship. But if you do need to go get your kids, feel free to do that. But if you want to continue to pray, maybe your heart's still beating. Should I go forward? We're just going to continue to have the front open as you guys fellowship up the back. And so perhaps the people up the back, if you can stack the chairs to create some space up the back. And then we're just going to keep the front open just for a few moments longer as we continue to pray together. Thank you for being part of this week. Go forth in the knowledge of the love of our Saviour and allow you to stand firm in the things of God. Amen.